Hey folks, thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the podcast section of the iTunes store and clicking on the subscribe button. On today's podcast, we're excited to have an inspiring message from our youth pastor, Eric Howder. And now let's get into Eric's message for today.
Good morning once again. So I have as my wife looks at me, I have a true confession to make. I love movies from the 1980s. And I love songs from the 1980s also, but that's a completely different story. But I do love movies from the 1980s. Now, just in case you do not remember, movies from the 80s, or maybe you don't have the eagerness to watch movies from the 1980s, but from that period, let me give you a quick rundown. The good guys most always win. The cocky fighter pilot makes amends with his personal baggage and the enemy is beaten back. The son gets to play catch one more time with his father as baseball players disappear into a cornfield. We all get that urge to kick off our Sunday shoes and become determined to save our town from a fundamentalist preacher. Going back to the future always works when personal crises arise in the current day. And of course, no one puts baby in the corner as differing types of society come together for song and dance. I could go on and on, really. Perhaps my love for 1980s movies has nothing to do with the number of heroes that come forward to either win a war or overcome personal dilemmas in life. No matter, this has made them last through the years, and somehow they still hold weight for us today. I think there's something about a retro movie that, although does not meet higher cinematography of today or the intense storylines of today, they still hold our attention, at least my attention. Because who doesn't want to see the enemy defeated? Or the outcast winning the hearts of the well-to-do family? Or who doesn't want to see a normal teenager have extraordinary powers of a werewolf, only understand he does not need those to help his team win a basketball game? Or my favorite, who hasn't wanted to go look for lost treasure, help take down a family of thieves and ultimately find the lost ship and its treasure? Or maybe you have gone on an adventure with friends as youth and learned about each other's struggles on the way to finding a hidden secret. And so imagine with me for just a moment the story you just heard from the Gospel of Luke with the scripture of Jesus walking in Jericho and a crowd and Zacchaeus being short, can't see him. But he wants to see this person named Jesus. So he climbs a sycamore tree. Now, in that message in the Gospel of Luke, you know, we hold on to that in chapter 10 or chapter 19. And just like a 1980s movie, you know, you sit down not wanting to watch the whole movie, but you end up watching the whole movie. At least I have. I've been guilty of it. Or I secretly do it while my wife's at work. We're introduced to this man named Zacchaeus, and we immediately learn a few things. He's short, he's the chief tax collector, and he's more than likely rich. And the people absolutely despise him. You see, as a tax collector, especially a chief tax collector, Zacchaeus was responsible for collecting taxes for the Romans. But tax collectors were also allowed to collect a little extra for themselves, which would explain how Zacchaeus more than likely gained some of his wealth. And so tax collectors were generally disliked because it was assumed that they stole money from others. More specifically, Zacchaeus was hated because he was a Jew working for the Romans and collecting taxes from his fellow Jews. So he wasn't just any tax collector. He could be viewed as a traitor in the eyes of the Jewish people. And then one day, Zacchaeus sees a man named Jesus approaching, and Zacchaeus decides that he wanted to see this man, Jesus. But because he was short, all he could see was probably the backs of all the people who also wanted to see Jesus. And so taking matters into his own hands, Zacchaeus ran ahead of the crowd to climb a sycamore tree so that he could just spot Jesus. Just spot Jesus simply as he walks by. That's all he wanted to do. Now I appreciate something about this image. Because here you have this wealthy man who was presumably better dressed than the others, and was probably used to getting just about anything he wanted, who now throws all caution and composure aside and climbs up a tree, simply to spot this man named Jesus. I can just see Zacchaeus, dressed in his finest robes probably, sitting at a sycamore tree. And then to Zacchaeus' astonishment, when Jesus got to that sycamore tree, he stopped. Jesus looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." I'm not completely sure what Zacchaeus thought he might accomplish by climbing up the sycamore tree. I'm pretty sure he didn't think this was going to happen. Because here's this man who has presumably stolen from his friends and neighbors and who has climbed a tree just to catch a glimpse of Jesus. But now, who is now going to have dinner with Jesus at his own house nonetheless. I'm sure that's not what Zacchaeus was anticipating when he woke up that morning. At this point, no matter how loudly the crowds grumble and complain that Jesus is associating with lowly sinners and outcasts yet again, we find ourselves still rooting for Zacchaeus. We want to see the impossible become possible for Zacchaeus. And it doesn't take long before he immediately jumps down from the tree and proclaims, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." And Jesus replies to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." And so, in just this brief encounter, Zacchaeus' life has changed forever. He has gone from wealthy, conning tax collector to follower of Jesus. The impossible has become the possible. And what gets me every time I read this chapter in Luke is that all Zacchaeus really did was climb into a sycamore tree so that he could just see Jesus. That's all he wanted to do. It was Jesus who stood at the bottom of the tree, looked up and saw Zacchaeus, and invited himself over for dinner. It was Jesus who took the initiative, and then Zacchaeus responded to the gracious invitation that Jesus offered. But here's the thing. We know the story isn't a movie. We get caught into watching it again, though. Zacchaeus was a real man whose life was really changed when he met Jesus. Zacchaeus' story is the gospel story. It's the story that when he couldn't do anything for himself, Jesus found him and invited himself into his life, and Zacchaeus couldn't help but respond by giving away his riches to the people he had once wronged. When Zacchaeus climbed up that sycamore tree, he is at least initially motivated by curiosity. Many of us, either ourselves or we know people, that go to church out of curiosity. Zacchaeus simply wanted again to see Jesus. But Jesus isn't motivated by just love. He wants to be with Zacchaeus in a loving relationship also. In other words, Jesus meets Zacchaeus' curiosity with an invitation. It's that love Jesus has also with that seekingness that he seeks us, that he sought Zacchaeus in that tree. But that invitation flies in the face of the expectations of the crowd who grumble that Jesus again wants to be the guest of a notorious sinner. And for me, that's where what stands at the heart of the gospel, because Jesus doesn't wait for him to invite him into his home. Jesus doesn't wait for Zacchaeus to invite him into his home. Jesus didn't stand at the bottom of the tree, look up, and expect anything from Zacchaeus. Instead, Jesus takes the initiative and invites himself into his home. And those actions aren't out of character for Jesus. Time and time again, Jesus acts against social expectation and religious tradition by associating with those regarded by others to be outcast or unclean. And so by seeking out Zacchaeus in the sycamore tree, Jesus once again demonstrates God's extravagant and unexplained desire for the lost. But God's love also doesn't end there. God's love is always a transforming love. It leads to lives turned upside down and completely changed each and every day. And perhaps that's why we were so drawn to these retro classic, as I like to call them, movies from the 1980s. Because they allow us to live in a world, even just for a moment, where that kind of transformation is possible. Where all people and creatures are revealed for who they really are. But that's the gospel too, in real life. The good news of the gospel is that extraordinary things happen to people just as us, not just in movies. Zacchaeus climbs up a sycamore tree. He climbs up a sycamore tree, a crook, and he climbs down a transformed life at the beginning of a new life. Paul sets out a hatchet man for the Pharisees and comes back a fool for Christ. It is impossible for anyone to leave behind the darkness of the world. They carry on their backs like a snail. But for God, all things are possible. That is the truth of the gospel. The news of the gospel is that God can do all things. But we've heard it so often that it's become a cliche, right? We hear it almost every day. God can do all things. We throw it around in difficult situations. When there aren't any easy answers, we say, God can do all things. When we don't know what to say, we say, well, you know, God can do all things. When it all seems impossible. But I think we forget that the impossible has been the work of God from the beginning of Genesis. Out of nothing, God created everything. God gave a child to an old and barren woman and then created a nation. God brought the nation out of slavery and into a new land. And then God gave another son to a young woman and thought that son, and through that son, God saved the world. And there's power in that. This is the classic plot of a classic feel-good movie. It's also the plot of the gospel with the one crucial difference, which is the claim made that it is true, that it is truth. That it not only happened once, many years ago, but it keeps on happening ever since then. And it's still happening today. And that's the good news for us. That's the good news for our family. That's the good news for our neighbors. Because it means that it's possible for our lives to be changed too. It is possible that lives of those we love will be changed. It is possible for the situations in which we find ourselves in today can still be changed. It is possible our illness will end. It is possible for our church to grow. It is possible to begin new things. It is possible that the darkness will not win. And in fact, it's just not possible, but it's an absolute guarantee that darkness will not win. It's the promise of the gospel. Because at the end of the day, the gospel promises that darkness will not win. Though it might seem like in the moment the darkness has already been around us too much. Sometimes we think chaos in our world is too much to overcome. Remember, in the end, God wins. Remember, as we leave today, we have a mighty Savior that continues to seek those that are looking. Looking for answers to questions of challenges we face daily. Jesus is not an inactive object. Jesus desires us to have a relationship with Him, not just on Sundays, but each day, each hour, and every minute of our days. Don't we want Jesus to come up to us when we're in our trees? Don't we want Jesus to come up and look at us? Don't we want Jesus to be there and look up at us so He can live in our house also, so we can have a relationship with Him, so our hearts can be filled with the Spirit of God? Now today, as I close and end, But Zacchaeus climbed the sycamore tree out of curiosity. He climbed it just to see this man Jesus that he probably had heard some about. He climbed just to see who he was. As Jesus made his way through the crowd, he came to that tree and looked up. And I often think, as I'm in my own trees, and I said trees because throughout my life I've been in many trees, just wanting to catch a glimpse of Jesus, just wanting to be curious of who this man was. Now, I was thinking the other night, I've lived through a few presidents. I remember Reagan. That's the first one I remember, but I think I was born with one previous. But I remember my life never changed because of a president. My life changed when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ years ago. So if this morning is the day where you decide that you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ, or if maybe you're in a sycamore tree right now, please come forward or grab somebody in prayer. God bless.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.